My pleasure, Beth. Thanks for having me.
Congratulations on this induction. What does this mean for you?
A lot, a real lot. I feel blessed just to be able to write songs and play all my life and not have to do anything else. But I'm not, you know, at the pinnacle of success, but Rochester and those people up there have allowed me to do this, and it's for them to be thanking me is stunning, because I equally thank them. I mean, if I write a new song or if I need to play out or something, I mean, I'm in Nashville, so you can't play down here and make any money. And also, you know, you got to stand in line and play someone a song and have them, you know, pull it off before you reach the chorus, or, you know what I mean? It's like selling ceiling tiles. But in Rochester, traditionally, it's hard for an artist to get by playing a song that someone hasn't heard before, that they haven't heard on the radio. But when I go to Rochester, hey, Bat, you got anything new? And I got a couple new songs I'm going to play for you. I mean, it's my connection.
Well, did you ever envision when you were younger, Bat, that you would actually be able to make a living making music?
No. And I certainly was told, you know, since I was 15 by my parents, you know, you got to get, you know, what are you going to do in real life? You know what I mean? All you know, that's music is fun, but what are you going to do? And in my mind, it's like I had known since I was 8 years old the truth that I wanted to play music and I wanted to live on a farm. And that's where I am, you know what I mean? Maybe I should have known that I was going to be, you know, wealthy and handsome, but I'll take the two I got.
Oh, you've got those too. Well, tell us, how does that creative process work for you when you sit down to write a song? What happens?
Boy, it's hard to describe. It just comes. I mean, there's different ways. Usually, I'll just go in and play guitar a bit, and I'm noodle. And then, you know, if I hit a certain chord structure or hum a musical melody in my head, the words appear. I mean, it's always been that way. I remember back when Chuck Mangione had a musical version of She's Gone and wanted lyrics to it. And, you know, the first time I put the tape on and listened to it, it just told me what it felt and what it meant. And then apparently, you know, Chuck agreed, and so he kept the lyric. But it just feels right, and I think maybe that's, you know, not thinking. I think if you try to write a song, it's not as good or craft one, you know, which a lot of people down here in Nashville do, and I guess a lot of them are successful at it. But you'll see things like, we're looking for an up-tempo positive or no drinking song. I can't write by assignment.
Do you write with a particular artist in mind and then try to pitch that song to them? Or how are those connections made with the recording artists that you've actually worked with?
Yeah, well, that's the way most people do it. I do not. I feel, and, you know, just to quickly brush over the corporate politics of it, most of the artists now are writing their own songs because it's part of their deal that they have to write songs, and the recording companies own the publishing companies. So basically, you know, I'm competing for one or two songs on a CD. There's only one or two, and then me and 10,000 other writers down here are competing for those two songs. My approach is I have to write a song that they have to record. It's got to be so good, you know, and then there's, so that's my goal. But then there's others that, you know, a couple of years ago, I decided, hey, you know what, I'm missing out on a lot of these songs are just sitting here. I need to play out again. That's what I do anyway. You know, I'm a writer, but I also write for myself and sing them. So now I'll just finish the song, and it'll be, oh, man, this is really good. I think I'll demo this to pitch, or say, man, I really like this. I'll put this on my next CD. So I just, I just don't stress about it.
Can you share some of what you might be working on right now?
Yeah, just, and which I think is really interesting. I wrote my first after 50 years of writing. I wrote my first reggae song.
Wow.
And it was just a fun little idea that got, you know, I have to sometimes wrestle with myself not to get too important. You know what I mean? You can't be too heavy down here. But it's called Real Life, and it just came out, and it's about, you know, you're not schooled in it, you can't Google it. You know what I mean? It's telling people to live life. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be an old grump, but it's pretty sad when I see kids just using their thumbs instead of their legs and minds and bodies.
Well, just this class of people you're being inducted with that we mentioned a moment ago is testament to the rich musical history of Rochester. What is it? What is it about Rochester that we grow such great musicians around here? What is that?
I don't know, but you know, it's really funny because you're exactly right. And when people, friends down there, so I'm going to the Rochester Music, and then they look it up, the Hall of Fame there, and they're like, oh my God. And it's so diverse. And I remember way back when Don and I were performing, Rochester was known, I don't know what it is now, but it was always known as a really tough crowd. Really hard place to play and be accepted at, and a lot of people wouldn't tour through there. They'd go to Buffalo, and you know, then maybe over and down to New York City or something. But they avoided Rochester. I mean, we'd learned that, and ironically, I'm famous in Rochester and nowhere else. We're just an odd lot, I guess.
It's a match made in heaven. Bat McGrath, new member of the Rochester Music Hall of Fame as of this Sunday, part of the class of 2013. Congratulations to you, and we hope that your travels bring you back here many, many, many more times, Bat.
I'm sure they will. Thank you so much, Beth.